Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Before this week's episode of Sex Unique Podcast gets underway, I have a few key announcements to make. Number one, Saving Sex and the City 3 is back, baby. For those of you who are not in the know and are curious as to what the fuck I'm talking about, I'll tell you. My passion podcast, Saving Sex and the City 3, is a podcast where I, Lara Marie Shainhalls, and a guest make up a plot for the Sex and the City 3 movie that never happened. It is really, I think, a crown jewel in the body of work that I produce. And I love it. It makes me laugh so hard. And I think it will make you guys laugh too. There are brand new episodes released every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever the fuck else you get your pods. I have great guests on there. This week's guest, Jordan Firstman, killed me. Betty Hu has been a guest. Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek has been a guest. Quality is high, and the lols are there, as well as tears and emotional moments. So check it out. Listen to it. Of course, subscribe, rate it 5 stars, leave a glowing review, support me in my endeavors. And speaking of supporting my endeavors, I have to say a huge thank you, as per usual, to all my patrons on Patreon. You guys are everything to me. And I say it every week, but I mean it every week. You're the executive producers of Sexy Unique Podcast. You keep the hot, fresh Vanderpump Rules content coming week to week. And I couldn't do this podcast without you. And if you're looking to get involved, if you want to help the pod grow, it's very easy to do that. All you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And it is there that you will find all the information you need to become a supporter of SEP. For as little as a $1 commitment per episode, you will have access to weekly bonus episodes, as well as recaps of seasons 1 and 2 of Vanderpump Rules. And if you really want to flex and pledge over $1 per episode, there are plenty of tiers that you can get involved with that have great rewards attached to them. And the biggest reward is knowing that you're supporting a great cause, which is me talking about Vanderpump Rules. So go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast for more details. Finally, I have a store, and that store sells merch that's all about this podcast. And it's quality merch. It's great merch. There's nothing but amazing merch in the Sexy Unique store. And you can check out that merch at sexyuniquestore.com. There are stickers, posters, there's a Lindsay Lohan, I Feel Like Putin hat, and more merch on the way. So log on the internet and visit www.sexyuniquestore.com for all your merch needs. Whew, that was a lot of info, but you know I have to do it. And now I'll stop doing it and present to you this week's episode of SUP. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, like I'm you. Lara Marie like I'm Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Go with a girl, with a friend, you'll be both win.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I am your host, Lara, but you know that already. And with me today is a relatively, I would say you're new to the game of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
It's Lewis Peitzman. So you started watching this past summer, right?
Yes.
And you had some epic, like an epic thread of tweets.
It's still going, yeah.
It's ongoing. Yeah. Many people alerted me to it. I was glad to see you come around.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of start every Bravo franchise like late, and then I just catch up really quickly. But I was so overdue for Vanderpump Rules, and I was resentful of the show because when I was watching Beverly Hills, like when they did like kind of the backdoor spinoff thing,
yeah,
like I was not happy about that. I was like tricked into watching it.
We all were.
Like what they did with this like Summer House, where they sort of like, you know what I mean? Like I was like, just let me find it on my own. Don't force me into this.
Don't make so, me like, take the bait.
On principle, I didn't watch Vanderpump Rules for so long, and then I watched it and I was like, oh, this is the greatest show ever made. Why was I so foolish? Yeah, and now I'm obviously hooked.
Yeah, everyone I think comes into Vanderpump on their own time. Like,
you have to let it find you.
Yeah, I was definitely turned off at first by it, and then it sucked me in.
Right.
And now it's like, I have no place else to go.
Right, right. Yeah. Now it's just, yeah, I think it feels like a show that I didn't care about at all. Now it's the center of my universe.
Exactly.
So, which is fine. I've learned to accept that.
What do you think of season 7 so far?
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I know people are sort of, a lot of people I've talked to feel like it's sort of tired at this point. Like it's lost a little bit of its luster.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because I'm so late in the game, like I just am kind of in it, whatever happens.
You're
like,
happy with it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's certainly not like the craziest season.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still get a kick out of it. And I love everyone, even the ones that are monsters.
I love it. Like, I'm happy that you have that perspective on it, because I was like, I think I'm getting a little disenfranchised with the world of Vanderpump Rules. Like, I've been on this train for so long, and like, it's like a heroin addiction. Like,
sure, yeah.
If I'm gonna go like cop a bag in the streets, it needs to be like really strong shit that I'm slamming
pure,
into my veins. Yeah.
Right.
Like I can't do this like budget heroin.
Sure.
Only
yeah.
the best.
Yeah. I think the things that I find, like even as like a relative newcomer that I find a little tiresome, is like the conceit that like these people have actual jobs and like we need to care about that is like has gotten less and less realistic as the show has gone on.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, last week having Lala have to ask Lisa for time off, which was just like so ludicrous, because like no one believes that, you know. And obviously, like, all the stuff with James's job is, like, really confusing because, like, really, it seems like the issue is that he doesn't want to get kicked off the show.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't talk about that, so we're talking about his DJ set, which, like, I don't think he actually... And that's not going to make or break his income.
Which also, it's like, I love that he's fired as a DJ from Sir, but is still a DJ at Pump.
Right.
So then, like,
totally
what
different
was the
worlds.
Big deal? Yeah, like...
Unclear. The continuity on that's not great.
Mm-mm. Then, and I love that no one even really, like, addressed that in this episode.
Right.
Fully. Like,
no, not at all. And I have to, like, wonder if they're bringing his brother in case they have to get rid of James and they just need another, like, skeezy British guy. If they're like, we're just going to bring a younger version in.
We need, like, younger version. I wish, like, everyone's siblings would just join. Like, I'm ready to extend this universe to all family members. I say get the moms
right.
Their own spin-off show.
God, some of those moms are so dark-sided, though. I can't.
Oh, I can heavily.
Well, so we have what happened to Teddy's brother? Is he
TBD?
We don't know yet, right?
I hope he comes back around.
And then Ariana's brother.
Ariana's brother is kind of just like there, but no one. I think he's proved to be not compelling television.
Right. He was like going to date Billy for a second.
He and Billy did kind of date for a second. And
but
then,
that was the whole thing was so annoying because it was Stassi and I forget who else like pointed out that he was like inappropriate with them.
Yeah.
And like that could have actually been something, but they kind of just shut it down.
Yeah. It was a good thing to bring up. And because I feel like so many women have been in that situation where like a guy is just like grossly hitting on you.
Right.
And instead it got really warped. I think everything that like could be a good positive conversation that feels of the moment on the show goes through some sort of like vortex and then ends up being like doing the opposite of what
it's like they started to approach having a conversation about like including trans people in women-centric spaces and suddenly it turned into something totally different that made no sense.
Yeah,
but they were so close to making a point,
so close. And like I think like I stand with like Roxanne Gay, who was on the pod, where she's like, any kind of like discussion around this is like, it's good to just have, even if it's not really doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Right.
It's cool that it's like in that universe. But yeah, like no one can really get it right on the show when it comes to like commenting on current events.
Yeah, and like maybe eventually they will have a cast member who's not white. You know, we can dream.
One day, maybe they'll find a person of color and then like include them on the show. Like, as if we don't live in a very multicultural city.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they're clearly trying.
Or like, even like a gay guy. I would love to see a gay man.
Right. Yeah. They don't have any gay people in West Hollywood is the problem.
No, I know. That's really straight around
so
these parts.
That's the real issue there.
Oh, we were also having like a interesting convo about Housewives of Beverly Hills, which I'm back watching because
you're back on.
Yeah, the fall of Lisa Vanderpump.
The fall
is
of Lisa
upon
Vanderpump.
Us.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. It's overdue.
I went to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills premiere last week. And Lisa was nowhere to be found.
So I thought she did come. She didn't come.
She came on the early side, I think, because it started at 7. I arrived like around 7:25. So by that time, she was gone.
Right.
And so I think she came in, took a picture with like Erica Jane, and then bounced.
Is that the only one she's like on good terms with now?
I guess. It was the only person.
Or on fine terms?
Yeah, on fine terms. And then she went to Tom Tom.
Ugh, Tom Tom.
Have you been to Tom Tom?
Oh, have I been to Tom Tom?
Okay, good.
Yeah, I had a nightmare experience at Tom Tom.
What? What happened?
Okay, this is funny because this is the second Bravo podcast that I've told this story on, but it's like not a big deal because I'll tell it on every Bravo podcast. Okay, first of all, like I root for Tom Tom because like despite everything, I love Tom Schwartz. I just think he's such a cutie pie and like he just keeps fucking up and I keep being like I love him. And you know Sandoval's fine too.
Yeah.
So I was like I want to go to Tom Tom and I had not been back to LA since I started watching the show. Mm-hmm. So I was like I want to do like all the Vanderpump establishments. I'd been to Villa Blanca because I watched Beverly Hills, but so we went to Sir and my friend was like no, let's go to Tom Tom for real food because they have good food there.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Tom Tom and we like got a table and the food looked good, so I was like excited about the possibility of having like actually like reasonable like tasty food at a Vanderpump establishment, which is never a guarantee.
No, it's you're really rolling the dice.
You really are.
What did you order?
So I got, we shared the, well, the, we got the cauliflower, buffalo cauliflower, which is really good. And then that
that's delicious.
Yeah, it's so good. And then I ordered truffle mac and cheese, which was fucking terrible.
Yeah, that veers in a bad direction. It's all about the bacon Gruyere mac and cheese.
Right, so I don't eat meat.
Oh, yeah, well.
But guess what? I got served the bacon mac and cheese anyway because they didn't understand what was happening. No, but it started out, okay, so we get there and like we're sitting down and we ordered our drinks. I say, can I get, like, do you have any virgin drinks? Because I wasn't drinking at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was like, sure, we have this like one mocktail. I was like, great, what's in it? And he goes, oh, it's rum and then other ingredients. And I was like, okay, cool. So that's not a virgin. And he was like, oh, I guess you wouldn't have rum in there, huh?
He called it a mocktail.
Right.
This is like
we're off to like a great start with this. So I get the drink, which did not have rum in it. And we were like, come get some water. He's like, sure. We don't get water.
It's very difficult to get water at Tom Tom.
10 minutes later, he comes back and says, we're having a technical problem with the water.
Oh, okay.
We didn't get water until we were about to leave. We asked several times throughout. They were out of glasses, apparently, but they couldn't just give us water and, like, a martini. Like, I would have drinking water out of anything at that point.
Yeah.
So that was a problem. Then we were, like, joking, like, what if the next thing, like, what if, our, like, there are no plates? And they come back and they're like, we're actually having a problem with the plates as well and the silverware. So they brought us the food, but there was nothing to serve it on, and there was no silverware.
What? How did they bring it to you?
In trays, but they didn't have, like, they didn't give us any individual plates.
They, like, bring it in their hands.
I wish.
Just, like, eat it out of their hands like a
well,
dog.
Well, I would have done that, because they were all really attractive. But then, the guy comes back and is like, we have forks, and hands us individual forks.
Okay.
It was sort of unbelievable. Kept asking for water, and they were like, can we get you more drinks? And we were like, how about just water as a beverage option?
They're like, why don't you bring a glass of ice and we'll let it melt and then I'll drink it.
Right. Then there was like, my friends got the fried chicken sandwich. He was like, we're out of the bread for that. And they were like, great, serve it on literally anything. Comes back, he's like, we're actually out of the fried chicken.
This is not even just like an off night. This is like...
No, but everything went wrong. And then... they were mostly really nice. The guy was like, the waiter clearly was like terrified we were gonna like yell at him, and
yeah.
And so my friend was like I know it's not your fault, don't worry about it, like most of us have been servers. And the waiter goes like, yeah, I mean, you just do this for a while and hope something better comes along. And it just had this
real talk.
It was very real but also very dark. And then they served me the bacon mac and cheese, even though they said it was, here's the truffle mac and cheese, and I like got it and I was like, this smells like bacon. Which it was. All that happened. They didn't comp anything, which I thought was crazy because everything went wrong.
I think if you ask to comp, because I was there on Friday night, I had a girls' night out at Tom Tom.
Yeah.
And which marks my 10th time being there.
Amazing.
So I feel like at this point they should hire me as like a consultant because I could tell them like what, just for quality control.
Right.
But if you ask them, if you just explain, like, hey, this wasn't so great, like, do you mind comping this? Like, I feel like they're open to that.
Okay, yeah,
they're,
I mean...
Like, it's a very, like, a negotiation-friendly
right.
establishment.
We should have said something. It was one of those things where, like, things kept going wrong. And, like, for me, when I go to a restaurant, like... It was like such a disaster that first I was like, this is funny. And then, like, by the end, I was actually getting really frustrated because I was like... I was really thirsty. I was like, I wanted like the mac and cheese. My mac and cheese finally came like half an hour later, and then it was disgusting. Mm-hmm. And the food was like generally pretty good, but that mac and cheese was like not.
I don't trust
tasty.
Their ability to procure like delicious truffles.
No,
you know what I mean.
It
like I feel like they're
yeah.
gonna buy truffles like off the budget shelf at like Home Goods,
right?
Like,
and, sure.
And they like don't really understand like what truffles are and where they come
yeah,
from. So I stay away from anything too like fancy sounding.
That makes sense.
But it's really up and down. Like there is no. Tom Tom is the crown gem. In the like, crown jewel in the Vanderpump Empire.
Right.
But it's still like you just never know what you're gonna get.
Right. I mean, I have to say, like, you know, the server was very nice despite like everything going wrong, and I did feel bad for him. And like we waited in line for a bit, but then we like got a booth to ourselves and it was really nice. Mm-hmm. Like it was I liked the vibe in there, even though it's like also kind of tacky and terrible. Like, I appreciated what was happening.
Yeah.
But then Lisa walked in.
And then everything changed.
Well, no, but I really, like, I've never, like, I would never complain to Lisa about, like, the service somewhere. But I was like, I kind of wanted to say something to her. Because I know how seriously she pretends to take that stuff. And I wanted to be like, I have to tell you that this is, like, that everything's wrong with this meal.
I wish that you had done that.
Can you imagine, though? She would have just, like, I don't know what she would have done.
I don't know either. Like, I'm terrified. Like, my stomach, like, just dropped right. hearing you
I couldn't describe that process.
But, like, she does deserve to know. Like, someone right. needs to be alerted.
The thing that was frustrating is, like, it was, like, on the verge of being, like, a good meal. Like of all, like, the, you know, the Vanderpump establishments, like, it was so clearly the one that was closest to being really good.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, really solid, that I was frustrated that, like, everything was a problem.
I'd give it a 7 out of 10.
That's
as
good.
Far as restaurant, which is good. It's not right. great. And it gets just knocked down because it's like, you just can't trust that you're going to get the same quality meal every time right. you go there. So they really need to work on that. But I'm also curious, like, it's wild to me with as much like claiming that they care so much about the quality of their restaurants, that their restaurants are so bad, like Lisa and Kent, like
right.
do they care?
It's weird. You know, Villa Blanca was the first one I went to mm-hmm. because we had family brunch there.
Love.
Because I'm from Beverly Hills. My parents do not live there anymore, thank God, but we used to live there. And so when I was home for whatever, like, I was like, let's go to Villa Blanca yeah. for a meal. And it was like, it wasn't even that it was like that bad. It was just like so aggressively mediocre that it was like kind of shocking, because it's like played up on the show as like,
you know, a
fine dining establishment.
Yeah.
And like, it was not. It was totally, I had like a really terrible omelet from what I remember.
Ooh. Yeah, I would stay away from
any I'm going to Sir this upcoming weekend for brunch for the first time.
Oh, that is a real gamble.
I just have to do it.
You have to do it.
I have to just do it.
I'm like love and light to you, but also I'm worried. I would just stick to like a French toast, like waffle
okay.
vibe. Like, I just don't trust their ability to execute an egg without it becoming like just a sulfur hard
sure.
mound. You know what I mean?
Oh, I forgot about my favorite part about Tom Tom, which is when our candle blew out. and the guy came over and we were like, he was like, oh, your candle's out. I was like, we were like, yeah, could you light it for us? And he goes, I'm not going to light it if you're just going to blow it out as soon as I walk away.
Oh.
And we were like, oh, okay, well, we're not like trolling you. Can you light our candle? And he was such a dick about it.
Wow.
It was kind of amazing.
Tom, get
yeah.
it together.
But Tom and Tom were not there. I think they were. Oh, I think they were away because I know that everyone went out to Vegas for Britney's birthday.
Oh yeah, the whole crew.
Yeah, so
hopped
I think
on
they
a
were,
private.
They were not. They were not there.
Yeah, when I was there, Tom Schwartz was there, and he was really hamming it up to everyone. At
well,
the
he
restaurant.
Would be. Yeah.
yeah, which was a good call because like the line starts forming pretty early.
Yeah,
for Tom.
We didn't have to. We didn't wait that long, which was nice. So Lisa was there, and then when I left, Ken was there. People were taking selfies with him, and he looked like he would rather be anywhere else. It was really, like, he looked so dead behind the eyes.
Yeah. The wild thing, too, is that Ken is always available for a selfie.
Yeah.
And Lisa is, like, very rarely. I think they have a deal where she's, like, you put your foot forward as, like, the selfie guy.
Right.
And then every once in a while, like, if you approach her with like a backstory and some humility, you
right.
might be able to get a selfie with Lisa.
Yeah. I've interacted with her. I've interviewed her before for like various things, like mm-hmm. way back when I did some like phone interviews with her. So we never like had an IRL encounter.
Yeah.
But I had a lovely phone conversation with her, and I liked her back then. That was like season one of Beverly Hills.
Oh wow.
So
okay.
it was like way,
throwing
you know,
it, back.
It was,
yeah.
yeah, it was way back when, but yeah, I really just like had that urge to be like, Lisa, this is not up to Vanderpump standards.
Yeah. Or it is, and that's the problem.
Well, or we need to evaluate. But she gets so mad about it. There was someone at BuzzFeed, you know, where I formerly worked, and this was like many years ago. Someone at BuzzFeed on the video team had tweeted about how like Villa Blanca sucks or something else. It was mm-hmm. like Sir sucks. It was something about like her restaurants. And she got so mad that she like contacted BuzzFeed and was like, can you have this tweet deleted? Like,
what?
This was like, she was so pissed about it.
That's insane.
It is insane, but also it was
also fix your restaurant. Like, someone tweeting about your shitty restaurant is not the problem. Your restaurant being shitty is the problem.
Right. There was that scene on Vanderpump Rules where they're like reading the Yelp reviews, mm-hmm. and it's like, and they were like some negative ones, but they were still like way more positive than the actual Yelp reviews are. But yeah, she obviously cares, at least about like the image of it, you know? And I never want to be like, Lisa, I'm going to tweet about how the restaurant sucks. Cause that's not like, you know, I'm not trying to be that person. I just was like, TomTom should be better. Let's make TomTom better.
Let's make TomTom great. Period. Not even a guess.
let's make TomTom great.
I root hard for TomTom. Like, it is actually one of my favorite restaurants in LA. One of the only places that I willingly spend my money, and I've spent a lot of it there. But I know that I cannot venture out of a very specific few things on the menu.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So I just have a lot of passion for it. I want it to be good. I want something to be good.
I am now thinking about that cauliflower though. It's so good.
I have checked multiple times on Postmates to see if anyone delivers it and no one does. Ugh. Yeah. They don't do, I don't think they do takeout.
Or maybe imagine trying to get like walking into TomTom and trying to like get a takeout order. Like, no. I'm having a panic attack just thinking about it.
Me too. I've never seen anyone taking takeout out of there. Yeah. And I know that they do have takeout, and I've entertained the idea of trying to like call in an order. But sure. Like, if you think you've had a bad experience at TomTom just going and sitting down, you will be raked over the coal. You won't even survive.
Yeah, the takeout experience. That's how you end your Postmates career.
Yeah.
As a driver.
And like as an orderer.
Sure. It's just bad all around.
You become like vegan, like clean diet. Like you like clean up. You don't even drink anymore. Like you change everything after that
you
experience.
You have to. You have to be reborn. So this is your show sponsored by TomTom, I assume?
My show is sponsored by TomTom. And now I also have like a TomTom hookup. Like I'm very friendly with one of the waiters there, so things are really looking up for me.
It's not Lucas, is it?
No, it's Logan.
Okay, because Lucas is the one who was our guy.
Oh yeah, no, Logan's the one that you want. If you go to TomTom, you should ask if Logan's working and then get in his section because he will take care of you.
I will look for Logan.
Yeah. Let's get into this next episode. I'm glad, Lisa, if you're listening, fix fucking TomTom. Okay, so Crazy Kristen has returned.
Yes.
This is what we deserve. This is what we waited all season for.
I have to be honest, though. Like, she doesn't even seem like Crazy Kristen to me. She just seems like drunk, sad Kristen.
Yeah, she's just
wasted. This is not like season two Kristen.
No.
Or like, you know, it's not like
where she just is like on the prowl.
Right. This is like medicated Kristen who's happens to be drunk.
Yeah. Like has been drinking since 9 a.m. and didn't stop.
Right.
Yeah. It begins with Guillermo playing hardball with the Kennedy brothers, and someone sent me a screenshot of like someone else commenting, being like, I think on like a post or something of James's or a Vanderpumper's post, and they were like, Guillermo shouldn't have been so mean to them, and they spelled Guillermo G-I-E-R-M-O, which I really
okay, that's
I
fine.
Love
I can
that.
Understand how they got there. I think my biggest takeaway from this is like, am I attracted to James's brother? I can't decide. I feel gross about it.
I think that he will grow into his looks. Like,
right.
James definitely did.
Right. They both have like kind of an awkward, they have like awkward British face.
Yeah.
Where it's like, James is like definitely handsome, but like it took a while to get past the sort of like gremlininess of it all.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think that Harry's just like very young.
Yes.
So if you give him like 5 years, he's going to be hot.
Which I should, because he's too young for me and I shouldn't even be thinking about
like how old is he? He's like 8. Or he's graduating
college. He's legal.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
like,
he's like 22.
Okay.
Or
so
21 probably. Yeah.
Done worse. Yeah. Also, James is like the only person on the show who follows me on Twitter. I don't think he reads my tweets and probably doesn't listen to whatever podcast I link to. So I'm just going to assume that this is fine.
Yeah. No, this is totally
I also
fine.
Fully did call him a gremlin at one point before he followed me. So I think it's okay.
James, I think he likes a little bit of abuse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, great. Perfect.
James is weeping after being just like burned by Guillermo. Also, like they're trying to pawn, side note, DJ Mickey off as like the new Sir DJ.
Right.
And he has always been the Sir DJ
right.
until they actually hired a DJ named James Kennedy. Yeah. So like, don't fucking try and give me the runaround on DJ Mickey, because I've got your fucking number.
Good on you for calling them out on that.
I'm just keeping
blatant
it real.
Lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So James and Harry take to the alley to just like download and decompress, which I was happy to see an alley.
We don't spend enough time in the alley anymore.
We never ever get any alley scenes. And so this was a crucial moment.
So important.
The chairs are stacked. It's been whitewashed, but it still is the alley we know and love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think also it was fitting to take like a new server or potential server
right.
to the alley to like just get them, ease them into the job that's about to befall them.
I wonder if like, I mean, I really do wonder though if they're trying to set him up to like actually be on the show, because I feel like they keep introducing people who don't end up working out for the show full time. Like
yeah.
maybe because the cast is so set at this point. But like, you know, Billy clearly wants to be full time.
Oh, Billy would love nothing more.
But that's like not going to happen. I don't see it happening.
But the hard thing is like, okay, I feel like the cast of Vanderpump Rules, maybe now they have a little bit more sense of humor about themselves.
Yeah.
But for the most part, and in my personal experience, their sense of humor and ability to loll at themselves is very low.
Mm.
And they also, but the egos are very high. So it's like, they now are stars and they consider themselves the stars of the show,
right.
which they are. But like, they don't understand that in order for this show to be good, they need to fight all the time
yeah.
and like fuck each other over and fuck with each other's lives and be incredibly disrespectful to each other and like cheat on each other and blah, blah, blah.
But they're all friends now.
But they're all friends now. And their egos are so big that they're like, we're the stars of this show. Like, no one knew's coming in. Like, we're the OGs.
Yeah.
So they create this like inability for the show to branch out and be good, because I feel like the only way it's going to be really, really good again is if you get new blood in there.
Yeah, it's weird though, because like the thing about Vanderpump Rules is that like they actually are friends in real life and they hang out outside of the show. Whereas mm-hmm. like on all the Housewives shows, I mean, some of them are like that, but a lot of them are just kind of like their castmates.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit easier on like a housewife show to just throw in some new housewives and be like, these are your new friends, like, and act like they've always been there.
Yeah.
Whereas on Vanderpump Rules, like, part of why the show has worked as well as it has for so long is that they have real relationships and they actually do care about each other. And so like,
they do, but they also don't, because they're like,
well,
I feel like everyone come like, and especially the cast comes back and they're like, their comeback is like, we are friends and we're like a family. And
right.
like, it's like, okay, well, you're a family that's like so fucking fucked up.
They're incredibly dysfunctional, but I mean, they have real
but
history.
They are tied together.
They have
yeah,
real
they
history,
have history
and they like they came into the show when the show started, especially like they were all actually dating each other and sleeping with each other and
yeah.
fucking each other over. That was all really organic.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it's hard to throw someone new in there. And whenever they do it on Vanderpump Rules, it feels even more artificial than on a Housewife show.
True.
Also because they find people from like casting, like Vail, where you're
yeah,
like,
where Vail is like not of this world.
Right.
Was very clear, like clearly felt like she'd made a huge mistake. Like you could
right.
see it all over
right.
her face. She's
they,
like, what
they
have
they
I
couldn't
done?
Actually force her to sleep with Jax, but you could tell that they were like, you should probably sleep with Jax.
And she's like, no. And they're like, okay, what about Peter? And she's like, fuck off. And then they're like, this isn't gonna work out, Vail.
No,
but like,
Vail.
Okay, the Housewives, New York Housewives, I haven't kept up with them, but
yeah.
I do like, I know like what's up with them, but like, they are not like, they're friends kind of IRL, and they still provide
kind
lots
of
like
yeah.
drama with
I
each
mean,
other.
Yeah, they're kind of friends.
Yeah.
I think some of them are friends and some are not friends,
but like, they all do a good job of like hanging out together and creating lots of beef with each
right.
other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like then still supporting like Luann's show in Miami and shit like that.
Yeah, they yes, they're
like they're playing the game and giving the people what they want.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of also understand what their role is more. I mean, the Housewives do the same thing though that they're doing on Vanderpump Rules now, which is when they're tired of someone,
they
don't just fight with them, they just try to push them off the show entirely, which
yeah.
is like what they're doing with James and to a lesser extent to Sheena, who's just kind of like,
I know,
you know, a non-entity at this point.
It's so, it's lame. It's
yeah.
way more entertaining for everyone if you just like are a total asshole to someone. I mean, you're getting paid the big bucks. Like, what do you actually care at the end of the day?
Right.
It is a show after all.
I think everyone wants to, I think all everyone on Vanderpump Rules at this point has looked terrible mm-hmm. at one point or another, and I think they probably want to avoid that. I mean,
I know, also, but it's like, honey, you are on Vanderpump Rules, not like looking good all the time.
No, but I think that, like, look at Kristen. Like, I think that, you know, she clearly must have been either directly or indirectly threatened with getting demoted and had to, like, spring it this season. Because, like, her whole thing, I mean, her and Stassi, it's all about, like, their growth, right? Like, they were totally crazy and mean, and now they're, like, zen and, like,
Kristen,
doing it.
I think, is the same bitch she always was.
Sure,
just
but
with, like, a little bit of Prozac.
Yeah, well, yeah. Or a lot,
I mean, aren't,
you know,
we all?
And exactly. Fluoxetine saves lives. But, yeah, so I think that, you know, they are trying to kind of find the balance between being good TV and, like, not looking insane.
Yeah.
Which, like, is hard.
It is hard. I appreciate what a struggle that must be, but I'm also like, I hope
you're like, as a viewer, you're like, step it up.
Get your shit together and serve it in season 8. Like, 2020 is around the corner, and I'm not trying to, like, sit through another season of this shit again.
Well, we'll see what happens, because, like, I think they really do want James off the show, but, like, if James is the only person they genuinely hate, then, like, what happens after that?
I don't think Lisa's gonna fire James. I just think that she has a soft spot. I think that she and Jacqueline have some sort of, like, deal with Satan that, like, where, like, she gets to ask Lisa things and then Lisa gives her what she wants. Like, there's some weird pact there. Like, James isn't going anywhere. He's also giving, like, the best show this season.
Right, that's what I mean. If they got rid of him, what would they even do? Where's the conflict?
Yeah. They need to watch Chicago, the musical, and then just, like, take notes from that. Like, I feel like I want to sit them down and play, like, Richard Gere singing Give Him the Old Razzle Dazzle.
Uh-huh, and be so like, you guys need to be giving more Razzle Dazzle.
Yeah, we need Razzle Dazzle. We need Roxy Hart drama.
Like, I mean, I think that, like, kudos to Billy for trying. I don't think she did a good job at stirring up shit, but she at least was, like, trying to create drama for the show,
mm-hmm.
which, like, good for her.
Yeah. I give her 5 stars for that.
I wish it had been better. But I think, like, when she would, like, went up to them at brunch and was like, by the way, I don't like you, I was like, good for you. You know, like, be really inappropriate in the workplace. That's what the show is founded on, was like forgetting that you're at your job and just, like, starting shit with people you shouldn't be starting shit with.
Yeah. I can't imagine, like, how difficult that would be too, as, like, an outsider with, like, a camera crew around you and your whole thing is to, like, approach Stassi and, like, someone else, or, like, Katie and someone else, or just the witches of WeHo, and, like, stir up trouble
with
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what? Props to Billy Lay. James apologizes to his brother for, quote, crying like a little pussy, which made me really sad. I was like, James, like, you don't need to apologize for your emotions.
No, but he is very emotional this season.
He's so emotional. But he resolves to continue on the sober path. And then Harry's like, oh yeah, how's that going?
I don't like to think too much about that family because it makes me sad, but there's, like, a lot of unspoken weirdness there that we'll never quite unpack.
Layers upon layer. Like, we would write novels about, like, just, like, the dysfunction.
The dad and the mom and, like...
There's a really good red carpet photo of James's mom and dad, like, from the 90s or early 2000s, and... You see, like, the magic that was probably there.
Did you see what Kristen and her mom were tweeting about James's mom?
No.
This was, like, I want to say it was, like, in December. It was very weird. I was, like, I don't remember how I found it. I think, like, I was looking at Kristen's mom's Twitter the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, like, she'd retweeted something that Kristen said that basically implied, if not outright said, that James's mom had stolen Kristen's money and pills out of her purse when they were together.
Wow. I know that she had stolen Kristen's credit card and used it to pay for Botox.
Yes.
Once.
Okay. That might have been part of it, but also pills.
I love, what kind of pills?
I don't know. Yeah. What kind of pills did Kristen have in her purse? I'm sure it was, like, Xanax or something.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything, like, that good, you know?
I mean, if you're carrying around Xanax in your purse, you're pretty
That's
much asking for someone
right, exactly.
to steal them.
What are you gonna, you can't just, like, have narcotics on your person.
Yeah, come on.
Don't be silly.
James, then he's like, okay, we're going to go shopping. We're going to get some black jeans. And I was like, what? It's the obsession with black jeans.
I was wondering if that was like a sir, was it like a sir uniform thing?
But it must be kind of like related to the uniform.
Yeah, weird.
But the first time I heard it, I was like, wow, they just are going to go black jean shopping. Like,
he was so pumped for it too.
I know. And it's on him. And I just, it's sweet that he pays for everything. But I also feel for him because I feel like he's probably in that like phase of just making real money for the first time.
Right.
And like, I don't want him to like go broke.
Right.
And I feel like he probably is.
He's giving his mom so much money.
He's giving his mom like $200 every other day, which amounts to like almost like anywhere between like 2,400 and like $3,000 a month.
Right. Well, you need that, you know.
You definitely need that much for money. Like basic, just like whatever, basic drugs. So if you're like...
It's expensive to be her.
Yeah.
But to paraphrase Erica Jane.
I'm nervous. Jax is pretending to work behind the bar. and Sir is also empty.
Right. Well, yeah, because he's not going to actually serve real people.
Classic. And then Peter, there's one moment where Peter's like, hey, how's it going? And Jax is like, great, great. I have to be out of here by 4. When it looks like he had just gotten there to like be on shift for the night. So I was confused about what the timeline of his...
So I mean, like, what do you think the show could ever just drop the pretense or no? At this point, it feels like...
I mean, one would think that they could. I don't know who the person... I'm sure it's Lisa who's saying like, no, we need to have it where they're working at Sir. Right. That's the whole
thing. It's weird that because, like, you know, Kristen and Stassi have not worked there for so long and they're still on the show. And, yeah. Like...
I feel like... Like, I wonder... I feel like people would still go there even if no one worked there just because...
Well, I don't think people... And people don't go to Sir now expecting to see Jax behind the bar, right?
No,
like, that's not going to happen.
I feel like people don't go to Sir anymore unless, like, the cast is throwing, like, a party there and says they're going to be there. But even, like, last Tuesday... It was like Spicy Tequila Tuesdays with Tom Sandoval. And I stopped in after the Housewives of Beverly Hills premiere and like no one was there.
Like, was Tom Sandoval there?
Tom Sandoval was there. Oh, okay. And all the people that were there were clustered in front of him, like waiting for a cocktail.
Right.
But like it was not nearly as full as like a see you next Tuesday.
Was he making the drinks?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was working hard.
Good for him.
Yeah. I appreciate the hustle. Like, and I'm here for it, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think Sir is the attractive place that it once was.
Right. I mean, that's where you go if you want to see Lisa's kids.
Yeah.
They're always there.
Max. Poor Max, who somehow has not been able to, like, leverage his way out of being a busser at Sir.
Yeah. I did see Pandora when I was at Sir.
Yeah. Pandora is always, like, floating around
classic
those
Pandy.
Restaurants. Yeah. I worry about Max.
Yeah, me too. But I think he's okay.
I'm sure he's fine.
I'm choosing to believe he's okay.
Yeah, I try just not to think about him because it would send me into like a dark K-hole.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
The girls go to a toy store in Solvang that becomes like... They are in that toy store for what feels like eternity. And like Brittany cannot wrap her head around like what it is.
There's nothing to do in Solvang anyway. So like God bless finding a way to fill out 2 episodes with this. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
you can drink, which definitely fills up a lot of the time.
Yes. Yes. But Solvang is just like such an odd destination that I like wonder who pitched that.
Yeah.
I can see Lala genuinely liking Solvang, but like,
yeah,
I would never think to go to Solvang for anything. It's like somewhere you drive, you might like stop in if you're driving down, but like
it's a road trip stop.
It's not somewhere you like take your private jet to.
Yeah. And like Brittany goes, what is this store? It's like a museum / store. And the store did look like it had some like cute stuff in it.
Yeah.
Like I would go to that store.
Sure. Yeah,
just
yeah.
Too much time was spent in this
yes,
store.
A lot of time.
Stassi is in a relationship for the first time where she trusts someone. Mm-hmm. So good for her.
Good for Bo.
Yeah. And Sheena.
I trust Bo also.
I trust him too. I'm here for their relationship.
Oh, me too. I even when they pass the burger back and forth, which was fucking disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Despite that, I still root for them.
Yeah. And I feel like if you can do that with someone, you're probably really in love with them.
Totally.
Sheena is feeling weird.
Shocker.
About being with everyone.
Right.
Because no one likes her. And no. Lala just spent like the past episode telling her explicitly that no one likes her and she's never going to be friends.
I thought Lala handled it pretty well though. Like that was like the nicest way of saying like, you cannot expect these people to give a shit about your life because they don't really care about you that much.
Yeah. And Sheena still doesn't understand like how to play that kind of situation.
Right.
Because she still cares so much about what they think that she goes, it's just like she can't get it right.
But also the problem with Sheena, oh God, the problem with Sheena.
Right. That's the title of your forthcoming
right. book. Right. It's 75 chapters. No, the thing is like,
two volumes.
I think the problem is in this situation is that Sheena is not capable of really talking about anything that's not herself. And so like, I think that she, you know, if you watch her this season, like all she's talking about is like who she's dating or who she's fucking or like who she wants to be fucking or who she wants to be dating. Like that's all she can really process and talk about. And so like, we've all had friends or like really casual friendships where like they don't really care that much. We're not that close. It's not that deep. And so you talk about other things, you know, but they're not the people that you would like tell your personal issues to.
Yeah.
But I don't think Sheena has another mode beyond that. I don't know what Sheena talks about when she's not talking about Adam or whatever.
Yeah. She doesn't like ever. I'm trying to think of an instance where she's approached someone and asked them like how they're doing.
Right. I don't think. And I just don't think that Sheena has any sort of like, she can't step outside herself.
Yeah.
So for Lala to be like, you should maybe like not share everything with these people who don't like you that much, like what is Sheena gonna talk about?
Yeah. And I feel like instead of like Lala, a better way to say that to Sheena would have been like, you talk like exactly what you just said, where it's like you talk too much about yourself, you seem very self-obsessed, maybe you should try asking them questions about their lives.
Right.
But like, yeah. So it's funny to see Sheena like struggle with like trying to like,
she's working on it
to the best,
right? But when like, they like, when they ask her about it and she just like shuts down and she's like, I'm not comfortable talking about this, which is, I was like, you spent the entire season telling every single person about how you had sex with your best friend, and you like,
but you're not dating him.
But you're not dating him
all the time, and he's your best friend.
It's just super casual.
But it's fun, so fun to be single.
It's, you love being single. It's so casual. You're not into him at all. He's just your best friend that you had sex with, and you have to tell everyone about it, but like in a casual way.
Yeah. Everyone is shitting on Kristen, and like, Kristen's obviously like drunk at this point. Like it's 11 a.m. She's wasted in a toy store.
Right.
And people,
who among us? 11 a.m. in a toy store.
And people are just like not giving Dodie a break.
Yeah.
And they're getting,
I feel bad for her.
I feel bad for her too. Cause it's like, okay, she clearly doesn't like to travel. Like, you know that about her. You know that she...
Sorry, I also hate traveling, but, like, her like, pathological, like, weird, crazy travel behavior is, like, so funny to me.
She cannot leave L.A. County without fully coming undone.
Yes.
And it's, like, we all know this, and, like, I guess she has, like, a history of breaking every wine glass she's met. And so, like, they're giving her shit about the stemless wine glasses. And then there's just a really good moment where Kristen's like, it's just who I am. And then, like, takes, like, a huge chug of wine. And, like, God save our queen.
Kristen Doty. Have you seen my phone background?
No. What is it?
If I can get it.
Oh, my God. Please. I know what this is. This is Kristen giving stunning face.
Yes, this is Kristen.
My favorite.
It was during the roast of Jax when Ariana made a joke about Kristen fucking Jax.
She's never looked better than in that one moment.
It was incredible.
Like, cast her in a fucking, like, ad right now. Cast her in a campaign.
I showed this to Stassi, who took a picture of it to bring to Kristen.
I love that.
But I haven't heard back.
Well, I hope that she loves it.
I hope she does too. Stassi was very into it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Lisa arrives at TomTom. And she goes, okay, sexy man, let's go to Jiggy, which is like every instance of Lisa calling an animal sexy is a gift.
You know that theory that Jiggy's been dead for years? Mm-hmm. I fully believe it at this point.
I saw Jiggy last week.
Yeah.
And first, I mistook Harrison for Jiggy because Harrison was also wearing a onesie.
Sure.
And he was fluffy and looked smaller than usual. And so I was like, oh my God, Jiggy looks really healthy. Like, we were all wrong. And then Harrison like walked by with like Pandora or something like tucked under someone's arm. Then Ken came by holding Jiggy, who was so deathly small. He looked just like a head. Like he's small. Like, Jiggy's days are numbered.
And I love dogs and think dogs should live forever. Is not about any sort of animosity toward Jiggy. I love all kinds of tiny animals, but I worry about that creature.
I think he's better off being like toted around everywhere than being like left at home or in a ventilator.
I just hope that however many days Jiggy has left, that they're happy days.
I feel like Karl Lagerfeld passed away and Jiggy's next. Like,
oh my God.
I'm sorry, but it's how I feel. Like, Lisa said on Beverly Hills, she's like, Jiggy like stops breathing. We give him mouth to mouth and like rush him to the vet. That dog, like, they won't let him die.
Yeah. My parents kept our dog alive for like a lot longer than most people would have, mm-hmm. because their rationale was like, if she's not in pain, it's fine. You know, so they just pumped her full of pain meds, which, like, God bless, I'm sure she was having a blissed out fucking time. Mm-hmm. She wore a diaper.
Yeah.
She was like blind and, you know, like, she was like eating food and like being high. I'm sure she was happy, but
that
like a lot
like
of
a great existence.
Right. Totally. Sign me like, the fuck
yeah,
up.
I'm ready.
And that's always been my theory, though, is like, if you can afford to keep an animal alive and they're not in pain, then like, by all means.
Yeah.
But I do think that like a lot of people, especially if they have money, keep dogs alive just a lot longer than most would, because, you know, I guess why not?
Jiggy, I think they should donate his body to science, like,
right,
once he goes, because there's things to be learned.
I could see Lisa like having him stuffed, though.
Yeah. Memorialized.
Or just like a gold-plated version, like just like cover Jiggy.
A bronzed. Yeah. We need a bronzed Jiggy. Then yes. She needs to sell those because I would buy one.
Absolutely.
Then Lisa goes into Tom Tom and she goes, and there's another sexy man right there. Hi, George. And she just like sexually harasses an employee on camera, which I love.
If you watch Vanderpump Rules and take a shot every time someone sexually harasses someone that they work with or work for or who works under them, you would immediately go into some sort of like coma. It's just like a very dire situation.
Yeah. And remember,
there's like, no sexual harassment training at these restaurants.
Oh, absolutely not. And zero HR. Tom and Tom bring the frozen shot machine in to like install it like we were all told it would be.
Right.
And Lisa is like, it doesn't fit into my design. And then it's like there now is no frozen shot machine at Tom Tom.
Have you ever had can you get a frozen shot at Tom Tom?
No, because they don't have the machine.
Because she's really committed to that authentic steampunk design.
Yeah, like I saw it because they built a shot. There is a shot bar at Tom Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would think that the frozen shot machine would be somehow worked into that space, but it wasn't. And like the huge sell point, which I'm on Team Sandoval with this. No other restaurant in WeHo is giving out frozen shots.
Right.
The huge draw of Tom Tom was that you can go there and like get a frozen shot ball. And like now there's no frozen shot machine. Just like makes no sense.
Yeah. No, that's dumb.
It's rude and I won't stand for it.
Good.
It's part of my Tom Tom feedback.
We're going to have to add this to our letter to Lisa.
Yes. Tom Tom used to be a sex shop. And I remember that sex shop because I think I bought a vibrator there way back in the day.
I vaguely remember that there was a sex shop there, yeah.
And Lisa says now it's sexier than a sex shop.
Disagree, but okay.
Britt calls Jax to check in on him and they have a painfully awkward conversation where it becomes clear that she is like monitoring his every move.
Right. And like, to be fair, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but also like, if I was ever put in a situation where I felt like I had to do that with my significant other, I would no longer be with them.
But you probably wouldn't be with Jax.
No, I wouldn't.
The thing is, like, that's what's so weird is, like, this unspoken thing of, like, yeah, it's this, especially in this episode where it's, like, you know, do they trust the guys or not? It's, like, why would they ever trust them? Like, the first, like, few years of the show were all about them fucking random people on guys' trips. Like, that was, like, all these guys ever did was, like, sleep with other people.
Yeah, but, so, like, why would they still want to be in these relationships?
Oh, that's a very good question. Yeah. But I mean, like, especially because a lot of that was unresolved. Like,
we've never ever had Tom Schwartz say, yes, I fucked that girl in Vegas.
We know
I'm
he
so
did,
sorry.
Though. We he know he did. And did. Sandoval definitely cheated, too.
Yeah. Like, Sandoval cheated with Ariana. Like, well, they got that, together that in also. Vegas. Yeah.
But then, you know, the woman that Kristen brought.
Miami girl. Right. Yeah. But I think Sandoval and Ariana had an agreement. This is just my theory that they are not going to air that stuff out on camera.
I can see that.
And like they handle it like offline, which is fine because they seem to be pretty okay in terms of like a stable relationship.
Right. But Tom Short seems like he gets drunk and sloppy and puts it wherever.
Yeah. Fully is just like he'd fuck a hole in the wall.
Right.
Yeah. But like, I feel like also everyone is encouraged to like be in relationships and then like merge their like boyfriend in with this group of men so that it's like all the girls are like in relationships with all the boys who are all friends, so we can all keep tabs on them. Seems stressful.
I think Bo genuinely wants to hang out with those people, right? Like Bo is like,
yeah, I think Bo is like in.
It's not like
everyone.
Patrick, it's not like he, you know,
no,
where he aggressively did not want to be in the show, but like, you know, Bo seems like he's well integrated into that group.
Yeah.
And I think was it Kristen and Katie who introduced Bo? Like, they knew Bo beforehand.
They knew Bo before, and then hooked him up with Stassi.
Ugh, I love Bo.
I like him, too.
I just think he just seems really chill. And, like, we all have a friend like Stassi who needs someone really fucking stable to counter her energy.
And I agree with Lala that he does bring out a good side of her.
Yeah.
He makes her much more palatable and more likable.
Yeah. And I mean, I always like Stassi even when she's being whatever. But
yeah, she's chilled
objectively,
out.
Yes, she has gotten much chiller and like easier to be around for sure.
I just am like, these people are like bewildering straight people to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, well, they're just like, this is straight like what straight people do best.
Right.
Is, like, all become friends and then make their boyfriends become right. friends and then like stress out over how they can't trust them.
One thing that always like makes me feel really weird when I think about it is one of my former coworkers was interviewing Bethany about something, and she was talking about Jason Hoppe vaguely because she can't really talk about him at all legally. But she was basically like, never date anyone who wants to be on one of these shows because it'll always end because it's just never for the right reasons. Like, anyone who's willing to film with you is not someone you should be with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that a lot because like on some level, like I think it you know, Patrick was like clearly a monster. So like that wasn't, like you know, Patrick not wanting to be in the show was sort of unrelated to him being a monster. But I do kind of worry. It's like, what is the end game if you're willing to film with someone you're in a relationship with? Like, that always feels a little bit weird, you know? What do you... And I get, part of it's like, yeah, it's their job and you want to support them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird to me that, like, Bo, a seemingly normal, nice guy, is, like, in the opening credits, like, he's on the show now.
That is the one thing that I bump on as well, where I'm like, clearly he's gotten something out of this that he was right. seeking.
He also is an actor, or yeah. wants, or I don't know if he still is pursuing that, but he wanted to be an actor.
He has aspirations.
Right. And I don't think he's dating Stassi for these reasons at all. I just mean that, like, I understand Bethany's point, which is just that, like,
it's just interesting.
It's never, like you kind of want to keep your relationship separate from the show, but also, like, if you're filming a reality show, how do you do that?
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be interesting to see how, like, reality television evolves over, like, the next 20-something years.
Right.
Because it is kind of, like, a newer medium, and, like, the lines are still blurred. Like, obviously, reality shows are produced and, like,
right.
with, like, and the best ones are produced in such a way where you can't tell that they are, but, like, they're... People take it as like you're presenting your actual life on camera. And I feel like that's bitten so many people in the ass in the past.
Totally.
And it's going to continue to kind of do it. And there's going to be, I just feel like that's going to be something that shifts and changes. Or
I'm fascinated
as
by
the
all
medium
of it.
Becomes more respected.
Yeah, that'll. I won. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I have high hopes for like reality TV.
I'm glad one of us does.
Brittany says she doesn't want to be Jax's mom, but she doesn't know where he's going and what time he's going to be there. And I'm just like, okay, so you like do kind of want to be his mom.
Right.
I was like, that's what my parents
He needs
Disney.
That though.
Yeah.
He's a 40-year-old child.
I love her being like, I thought you were going to be there at 7 p.m. And don't you want to get to the hotel at 7? What are you doing leaving the gym right now? Like asking him like the 40 questions.
Right. Which, fair. Again, he deserves all of it.
Jax tells Brittany that James is DJing at Pump, and Kristen goes mental and then like just mutters to herself and like leaves the toy store.
Yes.
And takes to the streets of Solvang
to eat more lavender.
Yeah, to like munch on some street flowers.
It's so gross. I forget which one it was, like who was who pointed out that like a dog had probably peed on that bush, but it was so...
Yeah, it was like off the side of the road.
So gross.
It's really bizarre.
Make better choices, Kristen.
Also, that's not lavender. And it wasn't sage. Like that other bartender was like, oh, no, it's sage. It's like, are you all idiots? Like, this is just like a flower in a planter.
It's a weed. You're just eating. Yeah, you're eating a weed.
Okay. A weed that flowers once a year.
Right. Oh, God bless her.
Everyone goes to dinner and Kristen is like inexplicable. Like, I don't know where they went in between their like trip to the toy store and this dinner.
They were at the toy store for 8 hours. So
they spent sunset in the toy store
basically,
like,
yeah,
and finally got out of there.
Wonder if they just like no one else in Solvang would let them film there, so they were like, we have one location.
Yeah, like, and also it was a toy store that had wine, which was like interesting mashup. Like, I'm right. not mad at that, but it was just like a wild merger.
Yeah, you know, FAO Schwartz had that back way back when. They had a corking fee.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I made that up. It's a really fun bit, but I love that you went with it.
Wait, I was so there because F.A.O. Schwartz was my jam
no,
as a
of
kid.
Course.
Like, I grew up in Oklahoma, so I only had the catalog to, right. like, go off of. And then I think I went there, like, one time when I was in middle school. before it closed, RIP. But I truly, if you had gone with that troll, I would have been like, oh my God. And then I would have told everyone I know that.
No, when I was a kid and we would go to I would go to New York with my parents, like we would go to F.A.O. Schwartz and it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a magical place.
It was the most magical. Because
all I had was Toys R Us growing up.
Yeah, like, fuck Toys R Us.
Whatever. Like, who gives a shit about Toys R Us? I mean, RIP to Toys R Us too, but.
Well, it went away for a reason. All that like fluorescent, like overhead
horrible,
lighting.
Horrible, horrible. Like, no magic.
Zero magic. I always hated Toys R Us.
Yeah, bullshit.
Bullshit. I'm like, skip Toys R Us, order from the catalog of FAO Schwartz,
right.
Pay extra for shipping.
There you go.
Leave me out of it. Kristen shows up in a minivan Uber and like her entrance is iconic. She's like, thank you so much, have a wonderful evening to the driver, and then just like she goes like full like stallion when she's drunk,
right?
Like, she's also like, I'm worried about her sandals feel like wrong on her feet, like I was like so obsessed with like looking at them because it just feels like her feet are gonna wiggle out of those sandals, right, at any moment, and she's kind of just like a baby horse that has just been born, can like barely make it up the stairs,
totally,
and then sits down and she's totally wasted and she's like late as per usual, and then like just launches into her like dotydom,
right? But was she wrong about anything she was saying?
She's not wrong. But she also was like letting the James stuff affect her way too much.
Yeah. And I think that's like interesting because like I think people, like I've seen people be like, oh, she's just doing this because she needs a storyline. She doesn't actually care about James. And I was like, I think she actually genuinely hates James.
She hates James. And then when you add like a day long drinking to the mix, it's like she's going to go off the fucking rails.
Right. But I think James like treated her so terribly.
Their relationship was volatile.
It was like, so it was toxic. I mean, she was awful to him too. But I just mean, like, I think she genuinely hates him. I think she genuinely thinks he's a bad person. I also think that she wants him off the show.
Yeah. But it's like, it's not going to happen. Get over it, Dodie.
Yeah.
In her talking head moment too, she's like slurring. She goes, James is infuriating.
You think she was drunk during her talking head?
Maybe. And then like, also, it's weird because I feel like all the other girls were kind of like poking at her while she was drunk to like get reactions out of her.
Maybe.
Because at the dinner, Stassi's like, you should just like tell us all what you're feeling right now about James. It's like, you know what she's feeling. Like, why would you ask her about this?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like they're making a TV show, right? So on some level, they want to like,
yeah,
rile the beast.
True. Katie is being a bitch, though, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't loving Katie this week.
She, like, does this thing where she gets really, like, sanctimonious towards everyone else.
Right.
And it's, like, I like it a little bit more when she actually, like, looks good doing it.
Right.
Like, when she, like, when her actual look is together and she's doing that, I'm like, okay, I can get down with just, like, a hot bitch on TV. So I forgive her for that, but like also I'm just like, you're being a cunt to Kristen. Like, can you not?
Kristen deserves compassion. I always feel bad when they gang up on her because I feel like she can't, like,
Kristen,
I don't know.
Kristen can't handle life. Yeah.
No, it's not, you know, she's been through it.
She really needs to meditate.
Well, I mean, and I'm sure we'll get there, but also all the Carter stuff that came out was just like so.
Carter is not the one.
Worse. Yeah.
Lisa and Harry interface and she gives him like a hard time.
Sure, yeah.
Which is like, whatever, okay. Sir drama, over it. The boys arrive at the Mondrian for their boys' night, and the Mondrian is empty.
The Mondrian. I love that they went to the Mondrian.
They love the Mondrian. Like, any place that's like Sunset Strip that was like hot in like the early to like tens aughts,
right,
they're like all about it.
Sure, yeah.
And the guys decide to invite James to boys' night.
Generous of them.
So generous. You know James was so excited.
He was like waiting by the phone.
Yeah.
What else is he doing? Hanging out with Raquel?
I'm sure he was texting with Sandoval and Sandoval told him and he was like, I'm going to try and float it by everyone. I'll get you in there. And James like, thanks, mate. And like they, because you know they like have soft spots for each other.
Yeah. I just like can't imagine like how awful it must be to like be Raquel and have to hear James like complain about being iced out by people constantly.
I think like, I feel like Raquel, her inner monologue, like if you're not like directly talking to her, goes into that, like, you know, the TV when TV goes off the air or something, it's like and it's just like the colorful screen.
That's her internal monologue.
Yeah, that's like where her mind just goes to unless you're like, hey, Raquel, what do you think about this dog? Like, she goes, she just like can't.
Do you remember when Lisa did that like impression of Raquel and it was like eerily accurate?
Oh, yeah.
Where her like, the wide eyes, sort of like the sing-songy like voice where she's sort of like a Disney princess who's dead behind the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Raquel's just like hanging out with Graham while James is at boys' night.
Well, good for them.
Also, Peter is so excited to be at boys' night, and I feel like he's just excited to get paid for being in an episode of Vanderpump Rules.
Because he's not a regular cast member.
Yeah, and like also he gets to like be filmed not as the manager of Sir.
I kind of wonder why they never tried to integrate him more into the show.
I think he like wasn't actively fucking anyone on the show,
but he's fucked all of them before.
Yeah, but it's like, and
he's so handsome, like he just he's also slutty, so I feel like he could easily have been like worked in there more.
Remember his girlfriend that had a kid that they babysat?
Yes.
It's so dark when they bring like children into the mix.
So on my long Vanderpump Rules thread, I tweeted, it was a screen grab of Sheena talking about how much she loves performing and how when everyone knows her song, it like makes her so happy. And I was like, I tweeted, Sheena is the person we all thought Anne Hathaway was. And Peter retweeted it. I think about that all the time.
Love.
Because like, it was so like, it was like, it wasn't like mean, but it was like very shady.
It's shady, but it's also like funny and smart. And then a moment.
But yeah, Peter retweeted it, and I was like, okay,
he gets it.
Okay, Peter Madrigal.
Sometimes you're like, Peter gets it, and then you see his short film, and you're like, I don't know what he understands.
He gets it, but also he's like, I think he also likes hanging out with those guys because there are women around, and he is just like a big old hoe.
Yeah, as we see in this episode. Yes. The girls pause their dinner to take spicy tequila shots, which, like, this cast, like, taking shots at dinner will never get old to me. It's like a what the fuck. Like, I don't know anyone that does that.
In their mid to late 30s.
In their mid to late 30s, the last thing that I want when I'm eating, like, a nice dinner is for someone to bring over a tequila shot.
Right.
Like, no thanks.
To enhance the flavor of your meal.
Yeah. Nothing, like, helps the food digest. Like, a spicy tequila shot midway through. Katie bitchily asked Sheena about Adam. She said, I hear you and Adam went to Bangtown. And then Sheena, like, says she won't talk about it and then starts kind of crying.
Yeah.
And I love Sheena's cry voice because she drops into, like, a husky voice, which she did last season when she was, like, I can't remember who. I think it was Rob. Sheena was getting ready for, like, something in the first episode. And Rob's like, hey, like, who all's coming tonight? And she was like, I pretty much invited the whole crew. And it's like, whenever Sheena gets husky, I'm in. She's like, I just feel like I can't win with you guys and like can't handle it.
I don't know. I feel bad because she can't win with them because she never will. She never will. But like, I don't know. I think that like, I have a hard time imagining what Sheena and Ariana's friendship was like before the show.
Yeah.
But like, does Sheena have friends outside of the show? I don't know what Sheena's life is like.
I think she does, but it's also like other reality show people.
Right.
Like, she's friends with this girl that's now on Lindsay Lohan's beach house, Kayla.
Amazing.
They're like BFF. And then I think she is friends with like cast off Bachelor contestant.
Clearly. Yeah.
Like, so she percolates within like a very specific realm of like reality TV stars.
I can see that. I don't know. I just like, Sheena's like insufferable all of the time, but I like somehow feel bad for her because she like clearly only knows how to function as a reality personality. And like, I worry there's nothing beyond that.
There isn't.
And that makes me sad.
I love it. Like, I never want Sheena to leave Vanderpump Rules. Like, I would be devastated if she was like cut from the show.
No, but I don't think she would be.
No, but I'm just like, I like her level of delusion is like a really good foil to like other people on
They've
the show.
They've never gotten rid of anyone on Vanderpump, have they? People leave. Like, Lala left for a bit. Saucy left.
Yeah.
But, like, they've never gotten rid of a cast member.
Vale was, like, hired and then...
Sure. Found. Yeah, but
I... the original... Like, she wasn't in opening credits.
No, she was always... She was recurring.
Okay. Yeah. No
like,
one...
There are people... You know, there are people who have, like, left the show.
I mean, season one, like...
Frank, who went on to try to sell Saucy's sex tape.
Tina, my queen, who never got a fair shot.
Laura Lee. But God. I mean, like, these are people who were, like, they were just legitimately in their lives. Yeah. They weren't, like... But I mean, of the original... Like, I can never see Bravo being, like, we're going to get rid of... I mean, they were talking about, I guess, demoting Kristen. That was the thing. But
then,
like,
someone told me that Billy Lee started that rumor to, like, fuck with Debbie.
Oh, I could see that happening.
Yeah, which I was, like,
I just don't... It's weird. It's, like, not like a Housewives show. Like, they don't think they would ever, like, fire... Sandoval, I mean, obviously, but like, no. Any of them, I can't imagine them getting rid of a regular cast member.
Me neither. But they really need to figure out how to, like, let them function at their highest level.
Yeah.
And, like, while still providing entertainment, like, and I don't know what that is.
Right.
But it's, someone needs to figure it out.
It's hard. The show keeps, like, getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And it's always hard to contain or, like, it's because I feel like housewives and the best housewives know how to play the game.
They do, but all housewives shows have the same problem. You know, they get bloated and the OGs get lazier and lazier and it stops being fun to watch.
Yeah.
And that's why you have, you know, Lisa on Beverly Hills, like, getting her comeuppance because, like, she's been skating along doing nothing for so long, refusing to get to get her hands dirty. And it gets really boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rumor is that Vicky is demoted on OC, which is crazy because she's the OG of the OC.
That's sad. Vicky is incredible television.
She is, but she's been, I mean, they're all kind of dragging their shows down at this point. I mean, Teresa on Jersey is, like, not a human being and hasn't been forever. And you're kind of just like, at what point do you just say, like, either learn to, like, play the game or, like, don't do this anymore?
Like, I feel like that's the difference between someone like Spencer Pratt is a good example of someone who knew exactly what he was doing,
right,
and was, like, comfortable stepping into the role as, like, a demon on screen.
Right. That also was much more scripted.
That was more scripted, but and it also, like, I feel like I say this as a person with years in between that version of The Hills and now, where it was like, I really did hate him and would have loved for him to be off the show because it was, like, so irritating.
Right.
But now I appreciate what he did as art and I can see it as such.
Yeah.
He's kind of a trailblazer in that way. But it's like, these people need to get with that program.
They do. Yeah. It's hard, though. It's like what we're saying. I think that everyone wants to, like... Everyone on reality TV wants to be the voice of reason, and not everyone can be the voice
of
reason.
Or wants to be, like, loved and have people being like,
but you
yes.
want, right. You want to be like, and it's very hard to pull that off. And also, like, the other thing is, like, if you're not part of the drama, you have to be really good at either commenting on it or reacting to it. And like, Stassi's always been really naturally funny, and like, her talking heads are always great. And so, like, even when Stassi's not being crazy or fighting with someone, like, Stassi is always a valuable addition, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
She's always bringing something.
Yeah.
But there are people...
She knows how to do it, too.
Right.
Like a seasoned reality vet.
Totally. She has been on... This is her third reality show.
Third time's the charm.
And she knows what she's doing. But there are people who, like, you know... People like Lisa, who kind of, like, their shtick gets tired after a while. And you're like, your talking heads aren't fun anymore. Your puns aren't clever anymore. And you're just kind of like... You're not engaging. So what's the point of having you on the show?
Yeah. I wonder what will happen. Sheena says she asked Katie via text if she'd braid her hair, and Katie didn't respond. So that's why she's so emotional. She's like, and you never responded. So I get it, like, that we're not on that level, but, like, what the fuck? And I'm just like, I love, like, Sheena being so upset about that. Because that's, like,
but
real.
I fully believe it. I would totally be the same. I would also be crying at dinner over someone not responding to my text.
So. Yeah, about, like, getting your hair braided.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then Katie reveals that she's still mad at Sheena for the comments she made a year before about Tom Schwartz cheating on Katie and, like, making out with other girls.
Right.
And that's why she's beefing with Sheena.
Right, but those were true comments.
Yeah. That wasn't, like... You're being a bitch. It's just like your man made out with, like, a lot of other people.
Correct.
That weren't you.
Right.
So then they decide that they're going to give it another go at friendship. And Katie says, can you just give us an opportunity to become reacquainted? Which I was like, okay, but that also doesn't make sense.
It's also just never gonna fucking happen. Like, yeah. imagine Sheena and Katie like going out for a drink.
No,
it would never happen.
Why would they? I wouldn't want to go out for a drink with Katie anyhow. But like, so I don't blame Sheena for that. But like, it just is like, who cares?
Right? Yeah. No.
Peter arrives at boys' night and he says he wants some titties in his face, which is wild.
Peter is like so openly gross and gets away with it because he's so handsome, but like
handsome and hair, like a hairless chest. He loves like a deep button shirt
yeah.
with a freshly waxed sternum.
I just feel like there's something like so, like sometimes the behavior is so, like remember the whole lap dance controversy a million years ago?
I loved that.
But I mean, it was just like, that was so inappropriate. Like, I know that he didn't start it, but like,
but that was like, I never bumped on that. Like, I thought it was way more inappropriate that like Guillermo had the girls dress up as burlesque dancers and give him a lap dance at like a work function.
That was bad too. Yeah. It's all bad.
It's shades of bad. But like the Peter stuff, it was like, these are a bunch of friends going out and like, right. I've
sure,
subtly danced on my friends.
But he is like their boss.
Yeah, but he's also not.
He's like, not. But
they like, literally are like, he's like, they're like, what's my section? And Peter's like, you're in the pink section. And they're like, ew, no. And then like they go and like chain cigs in the alley and like chug wine.
But remember when Lisa used to treat him as like kind of this like moderating influence, like she would like be like, oh, Peter will be there to like keep everything in check. And he's clearly like, he's as slutty as the rest of them, if not more so.
Yeah. But he comes to work and leaves his sluttiness at the door.
That's
when he
true.
Enters, sir.
Right.
Where not the same can be said for the rest of
right.
the crew.
Fair.
I want to know if anyone's had sex in the sir alley, like out of the cast.
In the alley. Because Jax and Laura Lee had sex in the bathroom. Yeah.
But I feel like there could have been like a hookup. Like,
I could see James and Kristen having angry sex in that alley.
Totally. Like behind, up against the dumpster.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like that episode of Buffy where she worked at the fat. Did you watch Buffy?
I did, but it's been a long time.
So when she works at the Double Meat Palace, she's like at a job at the fast food place. And like Spike comes and they like have like really sad, angry sex in the alley behind the restaurant.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm imagining.
Totally. Jax keeps asking. Oh, so James shows up and... because he says it wouldn't be a boys' night without James Kennedy because everyone's like in a relationship or just like boring. And Jax is kind of the devil when it comes to James because he always asks James now if he wants anything to drink. Like
yeah.
he's trying to set him up to like relapse essentially, ugh. Which is just gross.
It's, yeah, that's a bummer.
Like even if I don't like someone... and I know that they're like sober.
Right. You wouldn't,
I wouldn't
them
be like, do you want anything? Do you want a cocktail?
Especially when it's not under the pretense of like being like a nice, like good friend.
It's not
like,
an inclusive cocktail.
Let me offer you a drink.
No, like, it's like,
no,
you're trying
you,
to
Jax.
Bait them. And all these, like, these guys are idiots. Like they are idiotic straight men who just like act so unfortunate all the time. Like the way they like, they can't just like be normal and like, know that girl, like, yes, it's boys' night, but like, you're gonna go out to a club in Hollywood, there will be women there,
right?
You have a camera crew, like, that is just like you're asking for women to be around you,
of course.
But they handle it just like sitting in the corner, like clutching their dicks, like, if they like, they act like as if they were to stand up, they would just start fucking something,
right?
And not, I mean, I'm
and
sure
some of them, they
maybe they would,
Tom Schwartz, I don't know,
yeah, but like. It's just like, I don't like that representation of like men just can't keep it in their pants. Like, it's like,
right.
There's no nuance there.
Of course not. But I think the show has demonstrated that these particular men literally cannot not have sex with people.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, it's weird. It's like, it's weird and it's gross, but also it's like based on their history, I totally get it.
But do you think like, did this feel produced it to you? Like, it's like the guys are going to have guys' night and then like, oh my God, girls are going to be there. And like,
yeah, I mean, like I don't know. I mean, what, like, I'm always confused. It's like, what do they mean? But what does a guys' night even mean? Because like, I think that like, there's like girls' night out has a specific connotation that I understand. Mm-hmm. And like not being a straight man myself and never having a group of like guy friends like that, I don't know what guys' night out means. But in my mind, like, isn't the point to go and like pick up women and fuck them? Like, isn't that kind of like,
or be bad together?
Yeah, like I think like, isn't that kind of the idea? Like,
or like help your
which
friends.
I know is like so gross and like heteronormative and sexist and all of these things, but I'm saying in the context of like these kind of trashy people in this environment, like that's what I think of when I think of like them going out.
Yeah. And this specific type of like straightness is like, we're going to, or it's like, we're going to go out and like fuck, or we're going to go out and help our friend get laid.
Yeah, which I think
is like, that's a noble pursuit, I guess, if you're this particular group of guys that you're being like selfless and like helping Peter score. But it's also like, I don't, there's just something, there's something off about it to me.
Yes, I agree. It's gross.
Tom Sandoval is a wingman. He's wingmanning for Peter and he orders baby shots and a melted snowman, where he's like, when he starts throwing around like bartender humor, I'm like, I can't.
Melted snowman really blew my mind.
I know. I was like, what is that? And then he told, I was like, God damn it. Like,
we got conned.
We got totally conned by Sandoval's lols.
You can, by the way, like, as someone who doesn't really drink and has been around plenty of sober people, like, you can just order like a soda or like,
yeah,
club whatever at the bar, and it's not weird. And I don't think people, like, you don't need to make up a weird name for it to order like a non-alcoholic beverage.
Yeah,
but it's fine, whatever makes James happy and sober.
And James seems really happy to just like be there, like, yeah, he's of excited
course. He stopped, like, crying.
Yeah, and he's like getting crazy and trying to like make people laugh. Like, he's genuinely like feeling joy, which I love.
He deserves it.
They meet some women, one named Dana, I think spelled the same way as Stassi's mom, Dana, which I really appreciated, and Steffi. And James mentions that he's 3.5 weeks sober. I'm like, that's not a thing, but like, good for you.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just, he's recently sober. But is James going to meetings? Like, is he actually in the program? He's not, right?
No,
he's
still drinking. That's like what irritates me about the show, is because they like refer to sobriety as like, I'm 3.5 weeks sober, but it's like, you're not. You're probably like still vaping and like smoking weed and shit.
Right.
And, like, you're not.
Which, like, listen, if there are plenty of people out there who like have a drinking problem, but like don't have a full blown addiction, who like can smoke weed and not drink, whatever, like live your life however it works for you. But like this show, all Bravo shows have a really weird relationship with like sobriety and addiction, where they don't really, they've never fully explained like what it actually entails.
I know, and I feel like if you're not someone, if you're a viewer that has no handle on like what addiction is, and this is like your education on it, it's gonna get really warped.
Right.
But I guess if this is your only education, well, then on you that, need, right, then you, I mean, have way more problems.
Because I mean, like, because Kim Richards was like a whole separate situation but I forget what it was, but she was saying something like she was allowed to take like, there were pills, she took some pills, I remember, and she was like, oh, it's okay.
She took the bat, she had a bag of pills, like, didn't she, with that like dinosaur man that she was dating at the time?
Oh, the rock monster.
Yeah,
Ken, the other Ken.
Yeah, he looked like a straight out of the land before
she was sober. That was before she got sober.
Oh,
but there was there was the whole thing later on where she like, she's like, oh, I took some pills. She took pills from someone because she had had surgery, and she's like, oh, but I needed the pain pills. But like, you can't, if you're in the program, you can't just like take pills that aren't prescribed for you.
Yeah,
like that's considered to be drug abuse. Like, you can't just, anyway. So maybe these shows are not the best education for someone who is dealing with issues of sobriety or addiction.
No, it's just all very nebulous.
Yes.
Jax and Bo have a sidebar conversation where Jax is uncomfortable and he feels like he should tell Brittany that there are girls there, and he's sweating and like,
he's really going, he was like really panicking about
fully
it.
Fully coming undone. And Bo's like, yeah, we definitely like, we'll tell him like, blah, blah, blah. And then the song of the century plays.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Which I need, like, I can't remember how it goes, but it was like, I wrote the lyric. It was like, superstars, supercars, we live in in Beverly Hills. And it was insane.
As a Beverly Hills native, I'm just excited to finally hear my anthem on television.
That
is,
you need that song. It's,
it was
a 10
like
second
there
song.
Was the Weezer one, which was like whatever, and then there was this song which was like, that's my lifestyle, that's what I grew up with.
Also, they're not in Beverly Hills.
No, they're not.
Like, so that was confusing. Just like, as a Los Angeles resident,
there, but you know what's funny about Vanderpump Rules is they're always closer to Beverly Hills than any of them are on Beverly Hills Housewives. Like,
true.
They're, they, like, they're always, yeah, they're never actually in Beverly Hills on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but like that part of West Hollywood that Sur is in is like, I mean, it's right next to Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
So close enough.
All the guys go to the hotel room where the boys' night is taking place, and the girls are really like, they're really impressed, and one of them goes, "This is baller, Peter." And they go, "Is this your life?" And then instead of trying to play it cool or like say like a self-deprecating comment, like pass it off as a joke, Peter goes, "No, my life's at Sur." Oh, and I was Peter. Like, "Oh, Peter, get it together."
Imagine those girls though. Imagine like you like end up like, you know, flirting with some guy on a reality show and in his hotel room, and like then you have to like go on Facebook and be like, "Hey guys, tune in this week's Vanderpump Rules to see me like awkwardly flirt with Peter on Vanderpump Rules."
Do you think those girls knew what the show was and who the guys were?
I don't know. Who can say?
Like, because I kind of love those girls. Like, I like in my like my own fantasy world, I like to believe that they were like fans of the show that
right,
weaseled just, their like, way yeah, on yeah. there. But like, it also is kind of TBD because they seemed like they could be like very bridge and tunnel types.
They could have like, just been like, "There's cameras. Let's yeah, just hang
found
out with people."
Themselves right here.
I can see it going either way. I don't think that like, I mean, the show is like very popular among a certain group of people, but it's not like, I don't know. It would be very easy to not know who these people are.
Yeah. Sandoval travels with a suitcase full of booze, and he makes everyone cocktails, and he starts like moonwalking and doing just like classic Sandoval boys' night shenanigans. And then there's a moment where he gives one of the women a Moscow Mule and a champagne glass, and she goes, "You did not just whip this up." And he goes, "Of course I did," and walks off. I love.
Very smooth.
Tom Schwartz is a full-blown alcoholic.
Well, you know.
He's chugging out of the bottle. He's saying, like, the goal of tonight is to not black out.
Yeah, that was weird. And also, no, he was saying, that. I thought his point was, like, that he's allowed to do whatever he wants now, but as long as he doesn't black out, because that's when trouble happens. That's when he, like, fucks a girl and forgets about it.
Yeah.
But, like, what a bar to set for yourself. And also, like, people who black out don't go out being like, "I'm going to choose to black out tonight."
Yeah, I've never, in my heyday of drinking, was a blackout drinker. And I can say that, like, I never was, like, I went out with the intention to not black out
right.
every time I sure. went out drinking. I
mean, part of the reason why blacking out means you have a problem is because no one ever intends to get to that point.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that he's like, "As long as I don't black out, I'm fine."
But like, I love the thought because he's clearly like shit faced. Like he's like slurring his words right. and like just like flopping around. And it's like, that's the point where you're no longer in control of whether or not you're going to black out.
Right.
Like, it's either going to happen.
Someone's
going to
give you
not.
One more drink and you're going to just drink it and then you're going to be, your night's over.
Yeah. Or you might drink another drink and then you just didn't happen to not black out this time right. around. Like, it's
a real crapshoot.
Yeah. And like, I just am like, maybe blacking out isn't the biggest problem.
Right.
Kristen has gone full Blue Jasmine. She's sitting in a courtyard of the hotel alone, laughing to herself and like texting Carter. She's her feet are wiggling around
yeah.
in those sandals.
Yeah.
And she's just like muttering. And like, it's a dark scene.
Right.
And so what did Carter text her?
I'm confused about all of that. I think that, like, I mean, I don't really know what was happening there.
Because, like, did he text her that James was with them and that was what set her
yes,
off?
Yes, it was the fact that James was it that James was hanging out with them, or was it that, let me see if I have the text somewhere.
I think it was that James had just arrived, or he was at the hotel room with everyone.
Okay, right. So I actually happened to have the text. Like,
okay,
good. This earlier.
Great.
So Carter said James showed up, and Kristen said, this makes me insanely sad. I want to come home. Not one of my friends has thought, Kristen, are you cool? And then Carter said, for your own sanity, just relax.
Yeah.
Which, never tell anyone to relax, especially not Kristen.
Kristen refuses to relax. at all times.
Right.
So, well, like, that's not the right approach.
Telling someone to relax is not really helpful. However,
But he's not sending her, like, inflammatory texts. Like, they've been texting all day or, like, in contact all day ever since she found out that James is DJing that shit at Pump.
Right.
So, like, for him to, like, say that, it's just, like, this is how a conversation would, like, continue to go via text message.
Yes.
But everyone else is acting like Carter was texting her, like, abusive or, like, provocative text.
Well, because I think that she was being unclear about what exactly was happening. Also, they clearly don't like Carter.
Yeah.
Which I never got the sense that Carter was, like, a douchebag until now. Am I correct? Like, maybe I'm naive, but, like, there have been moments that where he seemed not great. But, like, this was the first time when Saucy was, like, really, like, Carter sucks.
Yeah, I think he was off camera all the time, so we never got a chance to see his, like, who he was as a person.
But I think also because Kristen had such bad men before,
yeah,
namely James, and that, like, I think he seemed, like, so cool by comparison. And because Kristen was mellowing out, it seemed like it was Carter's influence, when really it was probably the influence of the Prozac or whatever else.
Yeah, whatever medication. And also, like, she just wasn't showing her life on camera as much.
Right.
And so, like, you just didn't get to see that side of her life. So from our viewer's perspective, it's like, oh, she's really, like, calmed down.
Yeah.
When the opposite is true.
Right.
It's just been insane. You haven't seen
it. So are she and Carter still together?
I think she went on Watch What Happens Live last night, and I think Andy asked her that, but she basically said, like, you'll have to just see.
So they're not together.
I feel like, yeah, they're not together. But I'm like, thank God that we're going to get crazy Kristen, or just, like, single Kristen back in our lives.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready for Dodie to be, like, the primary storyline of season 8.
Good. Yeah.
And if she's not, I'm going to raise hell. It's about fucking time. Yeah. Bo and Jax FaceTime Stassi and Britt. And on the other side of the balcony that they're sitting on, Sandoval and some drunk girl go out to smoke a cigarette, and he lights hers, and she goes, "You're the best."
I love when the bar is that low.
Yeah. And so they tell, Bo and Jax tell their respective girlfriends that, like, there are other women in the hotel room and that they're uncomfortable. Which I'm just like, are you, though? Like,
the whole thing was so weird because it's like, it's not that hard to not fuck someone.
Yeah.
So,
and it's like putting everything, I just feel like this is where we go back to, like, the internalized misogyny that's always been a part of this show, where it's like these guys are trying to say, like, oh my God, we're so uncomfortable by the presence of these women. And then Brittany's like, are you saying there's hoes in the hotel? And then Stassi's like, put me on, I'll tell him to leave. And it's like, the women are not the problem here. Like,
right.
Your men putting their dicks in literally anything that moves, right. That's the problem. So it's just like, can you not fuck them tonight? And the guys would say, yeah, sure, we won't fuck anyone. And then you're like, okay, cool, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Right.
Like, that can,
it shouldn't have been that complicated.
Yeah. Peter goes into the bathroom with Dana, I think. And they fully hook up.
Right.
And James tries to, like, get in there.
There's been a lot of bathroom sex on the show.
Yeah, there's been a lot.
Was Jax the one who...
He and Laura Lee.
No, I mean, they're in the Vegas trip when Jax lied at...
Oh.
Or was it Sandoval? No, it was Jax, I think.
Banged a chick in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, railed a chick in the bathroom.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, choice. I miss that Vegas trip where they just, like, oh, and then there was, like, a San Diego trip, I think, where someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's maybe the one I'm thinking of. Who can keep track? They've all like, fucked people they shouldn't have fucked in various bathrooms in cities that aren't theirs.
In cities you would not want to go to.
Sure.
Kristen is, like, going full, like, Jabberwocky, like, running around, her feet jutting out of those sandals. And, like, instead of her friends being like, if my friend was this drunk, I would be like, do you want to go to your room? Like, why don't we take you to the room and, like, get you all settled in or, like, tucked in bed? And instead of that, Katie's just, like, yelling at her and, like, provoking her.
Yeah.
And Katie's also wasted.
Well, that's the thing is, Katie was also really drunk.
But she does a better job at, like, hiding.
She's not tequila kidding, but she's, like, she's really, like, not in top form.
Yeah. And so she's, like, just, like, betting in Kristen's space and, like, taking the glasses and then, like, screaming at her to sit down, which, like, a drunk person is never going to do that.
Right.
Especially when they're on, like, a Kristen level of drunk where she clearly wants to be physical with her body.
Like, she tried.
And then Kristen falls over the table and like gets tangled up in like the stools.
I felt it was embarrassing. It made me feel weird. It made me, the face she made when she fell was kind of like the face she made when like Stassi slapped her, where she just kind of looks like stunned that this is happening in front of the cameras.
Yeah. Like I've been so drunk that I've fallen over and it felt exactly like that.
Right.
You just didn't expect that to be the case and you're like embarrassed, but you need to like shake it off and like move on with your life.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like picking on Kristen in this type of scenario is just like very low hanging fruit.
Right.
But they also have no other fruit to pick at this point. So yeah, it's like,
there's limited options here. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Katie makes Schwartz put Carter on the phone to like yell at him.
That was so weird.
That was bizarre. And it's also like,
but Carter was also being a total, Carter was being a dick back to her, but it wasn't clear what she wanted to get out of that experience, because she would kind of like fix Kristen, she's drunk, and he was like, what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah. And then Katie's like trying to be like, it feels like she's trying to be like the Stassi of the situation, where she's trying to be like the scary, like confrontational person, right, who like has like the power, but it's like, you're Katie Maloney, like the respect is not there.
Right.
Then Stassi reveals that Carter doesn't pay for anything and doesn't do anything.
That was actually and I think she genuinely didn't, she seemed like she was genuinely surprised by herself that she said that.
Yeah.
And clearly it was something she was not supposed to say on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Because she seemed like shook by that.
Yeah. And I was like, is she acting right now? Like, is she like planting the seed and then being like, oh my God, I wasn't supposed to. But like, I think it was like a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. I think that, you know, I think Stassi genuinely cares about her relationship with Kristen. And like, I'm sure that like they've talked about Kristen supporting Carter. And I don't think that was something that she was supposed to say out loud.
Yeah. So basically, Kristen is again in a relationship with a man where she pays for everything you do. And I need Kristen to get her own, like, Randall with a PJ. Or just, like, live Randall out loud.
There has to be something, and maybe this is my own, like, singledom and needing to, like, believe this, but I really hope there's something in between James Kennedy and Randall. Like, I need like a happy medium, you know, of someone who can like support himself and maybe support me sometimes, but like isn't Randall.
Yeah.
You know, I just like
I want like a Randall's zest for life and his drive, which I do
and
have to
his charisma.
He does have charisma.
Does he?
If you follow him on Instagram and you watch his like Instagram stories, I'm kind of like here for his energy, but I'm also like, is he skeet? Like, what's the deal? Like, I forgot too, because I've been wondering like where the money really comes from, but then someone reminded me that he is the exec producer of Power.
Oh, uh-huh.
So he's got that like crazy TV money,
right?
So then it
Power's
all
on Power's like a Starz show.
Power, according to this person that DM'd me, is like the one of the top rated cable shows.
Oh, I can see Game of Thrones.
Like, okay, it's like all Game right, of Thrones all right. And Power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh, respect. Okay, so the private jets, like suddenly everything fell into place. It made sense. For me. But like, I need like a Randall energy and bank account and like a beau body.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
With like a sober James Kennedy personality.
Got it. Okay. And I just need Tom Schwartz.
Yeah.
let me just have Tom Schwartz.
You can have him. He's all yours.
Great.
I won't fight you for him.
Thank you for that.
Thank you so much for being my guest
today. Oh my
God,
thanks for having me. What a treat.
This is such a treat. Tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Lewis Peitzman. And that's about it. I'm between jobs right now, much like James Kennedy. So yeah. We're just making it work.
Aren't we all? You have to find Lewis's Vanderpump Rules thread.
I update it every week with a new, you know, screen grab from the episode.
So many thoughts there, so much to marinate on. And yeah, until next time, bye.
I know I'm feeling cause I know I know I'm feeling cause I know I know.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, where are you, the police?
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.